I like to play me latest chart topper. It's called Me Fans Are Stupid Pigs.
The following training video contains performances by highly trained professional criminals.
I think the message to psychos, fanatics, murderers, nutcases all over the world is do not mess with suburbanites because, frankly, we're just not going to take it anymore.
What are you doing out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, I had to get that there crossroads last midnight. Sell my soul to the devil.
What'd the devil give you for your soul, Tommy?
Well, they taught me to play this here guitar real good.
Podcasting live from the Nut House basement down by the river across the street from the water treatment plant in lovely Lawrence, Kansas. You are listening to Sunglasses After Dark. My name is Nick. I'm your host each and every week for this thing we call the podcast. This week's episode, bluegrass country, old-timey country, a little newer stuff towards the end. But yeah, in the middle of the podcast this week, we have an interview with Ike Sheldon, guitarist and singer with Kansas City bluegrass quartet, The Wilders. They've recently released their 10th album. They've been together for 15 years, and I spoke with him by phone last week and talked about the new album and sort of the way the band makes music and what it's like being a sort of a genre band in today's musical climate. But before that, we've got some music to play, and we're going to start out with some good old-fashioned bluegrass, and it doesn't get any better than the godfather of bluegrass himself, Mr. Bill Monroe, from his album Bill Monroe's Best. This is Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys with Bluegrass Special. Thank you.
by the river so clear. The ladies were winding their way when Pharaoh's young daughter stepped down in the waters to bathe in the cool of the day. Before it was dark, she opened the ark and found the sweet infant was there. Before it was dark, she opened the ark and found the sweet infant was there. Away by the water so blue, the infant was lonely and sad. She took him in pity and thought him so pretty, it made little Moses so glad. She called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near. She called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near. And away by the water so blue, carried the beautiful child to his own tender mother, his sister and brother. Little Moses looked happy and smiled. His mother so good did all that she could to rear him and teach him with care. His mother so good did all that she could hear him and teach him with care. Away by the sea that was red, little Moses, the servant of God, was divided as upward he lifted his rod. The Jews saved the cross while Pharaoh's host was drowned in the waters and lost. The Jews saved the cross while Pharaoh's host was drowned in the waters and lost. Away on the mountain so high, while in him victorious, his hope was most glorious, he'd soon o'er the Jordan be free. When his labor did cease, he departed in peace and rested in heaven above. When his labor did cease, he departed in peace and rested in
That was the Carter Family with Little Moses from the Carter Family album. That's not the, obviously, the original lineup of Asa and Mother Maybelle and all of them. That's the sort of latter era that had Mother Maybelle and June Carter and all of that. Definitely a good album. That is one of the older tracks, sort of re-recorded with a different lineup. You can track down, there is a sort of, there's a record label out of the UK called Proper Records, and they do a series of CDs that are called A Proper Introduction 2, and if you want to get original recordings, not re-recordings, and sort of like a way of getting into these artists whose discography spans such a great spate that if you buy any real sort of actual album, you're going to be getting a lot of filler. The Proper Introduction to anything is worth picking up. But the Carter Family one is great. They have a a big Mama Thornton one, you can go to their website, just do a search for Proper Records, and you'll find all sorts of fantastic things to pick up, and the Carter family, definitely recommend it. You can find them usually at Half Price Books for a pretty decent price, and I believe Borders carries a lot of them as well. In the middle there, we had Doc Watson from his first album on Vanguard Records doing Blue Mountain Rag. That self-titled album was reissued for Record Store Day in 2010. And those Vanguard reissues are limited and they're pricey, but they are very nice and they are very worth owning if you like bluegrass, jazz, things of that nature. Fantastic. The Blind Flat Picker, Doc Watson, just a remarkably talented man. And if you don't own any Doc Watson and yet you claim to be a fan of bluegrass, I feel sorry for you. And we started that out with Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys doing Bluegrass Special from Bill Monroe's Best. We're going to move into some kind of covers, I guess. We ended that last set with the Carter Family, and we're going to start the next set with a cover of the Carter Family by a man who sort of married into that clan, Mr. Johnny Cash. From his album Orange Blossom Special, this is Wildwood Flower.
Twine with my mingles and waving black hair, with the roses so red and the lilies so fair, and the myrtles so bright with the emerald dew, the pail and the leader and eyes look like blue. I will dance, I will sing, and my laugh shall be gay. I will charm every heart, in her crown I will sway. When I woke from my dreaming, my idols were clay. All portions of love had all flown away. Taught me to love her and promise to love and to cherish me over all others above. How my heart is now wandering, no misery can tell. She left me no warning, no words of farewell. Yes, she taught me to love her and called me her flower that was blooming to cheer her through life's dreary hour. Oh, I long to see her and regret the dark hour. She's gone and neglected her pale wildwood flower.
Jimmie Rodgers had a great affection for the railroads and the men who ran them. And during the years he worked on the roads, he spent most of the time with the New Orleans and Northeastern lines, which ran between his hometown of Meridian, Mississippi, and New Orleans. And Jimmie became able to talk in the language of the railroaders, like such expressions as hoghead, hotbox, quill, ball in a jack, skinner. All these filled his conversation. And he wrote songs about these men and their language. The mule skinner was usually a man with a mule who hired himself and his mule out by the day to do whatever had to be done. He might drag ties or rails, or he might just move freshly cut timber from the right-of-way. The mule skinner was the subject of one of Jimmie Rodgers' most popular blue yodels.
Good morning, sun. Do you need another mule skinner out on your new line? Dearly, holy, holy. I like to work. I'm a rolling all the time. I can carve my initial on any old mule behind. Dearly, holy. Here comes James Burton on the acoustical guitar. Hey, hey, little water boy. Hey, bring your water round. If you don't like your job, set your bucket down. Dearly, holy, holy. And Roy Nichols on the harmonica. Honey, what you want to bring you back? How about a pint of booze and a John V. Stetson hat? Beauty, holy, holy, did Norman Hamlet. Woman, turn your damper down. Damper, good gal, turn your bread around. Around, I said round. Dearly, holy, holy.
I'm
from their 10-inch EP, Sitting on a Jury, that was The Wilders with a cover of Hank Williams' I'm a Long Gone Daddy. Before that, Merle Haggard did Mule Skinner Blues from Same Train, Different Time. That is a collection of Jimmy Rogers songs. It's a double LP, and it's great. He does Blue Yodel, T for Texas. Waiting for a Train, if there's a Jimmy Rogers song that you know, it's done by Merle Haggard, and it's fantastic. Mule Skinner Blues, most famously done by the Cramps, in a wonderful style, but on their Stay Sick album, but that Merle Haggard version is also quite fantastic. And we started everything off with Johnny Cash doing Wildwood Flower, a Carter Family song from his Orange Blossom special release. Johnny Cash, of course, married June Carter. It was the subject of a movie, not necessarily a great one, but certainly the topic of a movie. Like I said, we ended that set with the Wilders doing Hank Williams' I'm a Long Gone Daddy, and now this is my interview I conducted last week with Mr. Ike Sheldon of the Wilders. We talked about the group's new self-titled release on Free Dirt Records, as well as some history of the band. And here it is.
Hey, how you doing? Is it Nick?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good now. I'm all loaded up and moving along the line here, so I can talk.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I do appreciate it.
Oh, for sure.
So the Wilders have a new album coming out.
Yeah. It's been a while.
When was the last album?
Oh, God, that's a great question. Let's see. Yeah, you might have to look that up. I'm not sure. Let me see. It was, at least 3 years ago. At least, so.
I guess
maybe even four, but I think three might be right. But, it's definitely been a while.
And that album, that last album was Someone's Got to Pay, right?
Right.
And I've always been curious, and I guess kind of go back to the past before we go to the present.
Sure.
How did Someone's Got to Pay evolve from the Sitting on a Jury EP?
Right. The album was done already, or at least pretty much done by the time the EP came out. Basically, the EP was our chance to put that whole Jury track as just one big song, because on Someone's Got to Pay, it's split up to kind of, have a thread that goes all the way through. Each verse is split up throughout the album, but it was great as just a big 9-minute long song. So that's kind of how it went, actually. It was like, well, we can't really, there's not really room on a record for a 9-minute song, and, it wouldn't have served the purpose it did of splitting it up. That worked lots better on the album, but the big long song sounded so good, we had to do something with it, so we put it out on the EP.
I've always been curious. It having been 3 or 4 years since then, and now you have your new self-titled release, what led to the new album?
Hopefully, like any band, just evolution and, changing and hopefully moving forward. And, last album we did, I think I wrote a lot of songs on it, and Nate wrote a few. But this one, Nate wrote most of the tunes on the new one. And, it just kind of shows, maybe just where we're going. We're doing all originals. Some of our early originals were more similar to kind of the old country and stuff like that. And now we're just writing songs and not worrying about what kind of song it is, if it fits a genre or anything, because we're just trusting, what we call the Wilders machine, which is basically anything you bring into any of us bring in, any song we bring in ends up sounding like a Wilder song, because that's just what we do to it. So instead of worrying about, I wonder if this is country enough or anything like that, I guess we never really worried about that, but On this album, it was completely, it was just like, hey, whatever it is, well, it's going to sound like us when we're done with it. So whatever kind of song we have, let's do it. So, yeah, that's kind of how that came about.
I do find it interesting that on the new album, you have some more ornate pieces than maybe you've had in the past.
Yeah, we had kind of the luxury of getting to spend some more time in the studio. This is the first time we've ever recorded an album that wasn't, all albums before this basically were go somewhere, wherever it is, and record an album quick, you know, like in the old days. I mean, you know, there's a couple old albums there that we recorded like in a day, you know, but that was a long time ago. But even like someone's got to pay, most of it was recorded. We went down to Louisiana, our friend Dirk Powell's, and went there to his studio for a week. It's like, here we are for a week. It's like, you know, really intense record, you know, all day, every day. And that's how we always did it. And this is the first time we recorded in Kansas City and didn't worry about, like, you know, cranking it out. It's like, oh, let's go record this weekend, or let's go record now. And, you know, really took our time with it. And I think that really, you know, the more you get to listen to them, the more ideas you kind of get. And so I think that's where you get those more ornate kind of arrangements, and is that we actually had time to do that, something we probably always would have enjoyed doing, but we never really had the time, and it was nice to have that luxury this time.
Now maybe it's just me, but it does seem to be a little more sedate than some of
it is
releases.
Yeah.
So what kind of led to that less, I don't know, like honky-tonk kind of thing, and more I'm not going to say country pop, but
I know what you mean. You know, I just think who we are kind of as people, you know, a lot of these songs, you know, there's a definitely feeling of a road weariness, I think, to this album. You definitely have some songs that kind of touch on that, and a lot of, trying to put relationships together, which also, you know, relates to being on the road, you know, like we were for many years. And I think it's just, that's just kind of how it came out, is that that's what people were thinking about when they wrote these songs. It's like, we've been, you know, we've been on the road a lot of years and played a lot of time and, you know, sacrificed a lot of our personal lives to you know, kind of follow this dream. And I think, you know, some of these songs definitely reflect that, you know, the you know, what being a working road musician can do to your life, you know, and do to you. You know, there's great things about it, but it's also a really weird way to live. It's a very unusual style of life, and can be hard on you. So I think that's kind of where this more chilled out kind of thing comes from.
Where did the final track on the album come from? It seems to be kind of along the lines of like the Elvis Costello Shipbuilding, or the Pogues, the band played Waltzing Matilda, sort of like the mm-hmm. the big sort of anti-war song.
Yeah, you know, that's what I think is, I mean, that's what's cool about music anyway, but specifically that song, I mean, it can relate to anything from, like, you know, you can look at it on at a micro level or a macro level, you know, of, yeah, you can totally look at it that way. But I, you know, I don't want to speak for Nate because he wrote it, but, you know, I think it's actually more of a love song. It's like two people who just, you know, hurt each other over and over. And, you know, after a while, it's just like, you know, can we just lay down our guns for a while, you know, stop blazing away at each other and just, you know, just have some time together where, you know, a truce. But, you know, you can look at it. He sang it before, you know, when we've toured. It's like sang it in Northern Ireland, which has, you know, a real history of violence and guns and bombs. And, you know, and he sang it there. And I think, you know, it had a, you know, to those people, it probably had a very different meaning than it might to someone who's just thinking of it as a love song. And I think that's what makes any song a strong song, where it can actually have many different meanings and, you know, relate to lots of different people. And I think that song does that.
Speaking of relating to different people, over the last 15 years, I mean, you guys have played lots of different venues, but what does a country band do to get noticed these days? I mean, like, outside of specialty radio shows like Trail Mix or Prairie Home Companion.
Right, right. I don't know. You know, I'd be talking to you from my mansion if I knew the answer to that instead of from my shitty old car. So, I don't know. I really don't know. I will confess to just being, you know, absolutely kind of baffled by the music business. It's like, I don't know. I mean, really, all I can do is do the best music I can and just see what happens. And, you know, we have agents and we have booking people and stuff like that. And, you know, we do what we can. But really, I guess I used to worry about it a lot more. But now I'm just like, all I can do is play good shows. And that's really all I can do. And if we get noticed, we get noticed. And if we don't, we don't. But there's not a lot I can really do about it personally, so I'm just really trying to concentrate on the music.
You guys play a lot.
Well, lots less than we used to, but it's still a lot. Yeah.
We just got
back from a 6-week tour, you know, which is in the UK, and you know, that's a long time. That's a long tour.
How does a band keep things fresh after 15 years? I know, like, there are solo records and mm-hmm. guest appearances on other people's records, but
sure. But this has been, you know, everybody in the band's bread and butter for quite a long time. And their side projects and stuff like that. And that's, like, today I'm going to play with a friend. We're playing a gig tonight. But, you know, yeah, the Wilders has been kind of like the center of my working musician universe for quite a while. And I guess maybe the way to keep it fresh is to evolve, because I think if you look at our albums, except for like maybe the very few right at the beginning that were pretty similar, because we were just kind of learning our chops in that old country and honky-tonk style. But once we started writing our own tunes, if you look at the albums that have come out of that, it's like there's just a constant evolution in the band, and I think that's really what keeps it fresh. You know, like this last tour, you know, we were doing, I don't know, at least 50% of the set was new songs off the new album. And, you know, and a lot of those actually were built in the studio and we'd never, ever played them before. So we just kind of had to learn how to play them. And so, you know, that gave it a freshness. It's like, you know, this isn't something you've played a million times. There's going to be things in there like that. But, so, you know, we had to learn to make those songs work, you know, with limited instrumentation. You know, like you said, there's a thicker instrumentation on this album when it's just the four of us. And no drums especially. You have to figure out how do you make this song work. And so, you know, that was our very fun musical puzzle to put together for us when we were on this last tour.
How do the songs change when they're played live?
It's weird. You don't know. Sometimes they go faster. Sometimes they go slower. Sometimes you use a riff from the song, and sometimes, you know, you don't. It doesn't, you know, really fit with the four. It really depends. We just basically just start trying to play it and see what happens. And if, you know, kind of try to play it, I guess, you know, more like the record if when you're just starting. But then it's like, oh man, that just doesn't work. You know, without a drummer, it needs to be a little faster, or it needs to be a little slower, or, you know, somebody needs to take this like rhythmic emphasis that the drums had. Can somebody cover that? You know, it's an interesting process. You know, there's no formula for it. You just start playing and kind of decide what you can cobble together. You know.
So what are the band's plans going forward from here, just to promote the record, or?
Well, we're actually doing some U.S. touring, which we haven't done in a long time. I mean, we've been, you know, 90% of our gigs, like the last 3-4 years, have been overseas. You know, in fact, the last time we did like a major, you know, or a U.S. tour that wasn't like, you know, like less than a week long, you know, because we've flown out to festivals and stuff like that. But it's like to actually go on tour, it's been a long time. It's since we toured the West Coast to support the release of Someone's Got to Pay, and that's the last time we did like a U.S. tour. But in August, we're going to go out west. We're going to have a, you know, kind of a 2-week western tour. You know, we're going to play play 3 festivals over the time, you know, so we'll be like out in Oregon and Washington, Seattle, Wyoming, stuff like that. So we'll do that, and then we're not sure yet, but it's possible that we might be doing a short East Coast kind of tour this fall. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Sure, man. Thanks for wanting to talk to me. I appreciate it. And hope I gave you something decent to talk about.
Many thanks to Ike Sheldon for taking the time to speak with me last week. Their new album is available now on Free Dirt Records. You can find information about the group at their website. You can find them on Facebook. But you can buy stuff from them. Their website is thewilders, all one word, .us. Do check that out. You can find them also on Facebook. Just do a search for Wilders. They're playing, if you are listening to this podcast, the week it comes out, they're playing Saturday, June 25th at the Missouri Chainsaw Grassacre at the Crossroads in downtown Kansas City. They're playing with Split Lip Rayfield, Mountain Sprout, and a slew of other bands of that nature. Do check it out. It's an all-day sort of thing, starting at about 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. More music. We're going to play some Ladies of Country. From her very excellent EP, Canadian Amp, this is Nico Case with the haunting, haunting murder ballad, Make Your Bed.
Make your bed, the river young. Make your bed, the river, young girl. La 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 la. Make your bed, the river, young girl. Did you come here to meet him, my dear? You surprised to find only me. Well, I put him to rest at the bend in the river, and the same I require of thee. I'm thick with disease in my madness. Only one thought pacifies me, that the murky black water drowns your bones into sand. Of your hand, make your bed, the river young. Make your bed, the river young girl. No, you can't swim, but I'll tuck you in. Make your bed, the river young girl. To quell all hell's fury inside me, and if there's a chance that the Lord recognize you, pray he has more mercy than I. Make your bed, the river young. Make your bed, the river young girl. No, you can't swim, but I'll tuck you in. Make your bed, the river young girl. Make your bed, the river young girl.
Filled with sin, 'cause I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Ah, oh, but then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No darkness, no more night.
Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back my sight. I saw the light.
I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night.
Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow's the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night.
Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night.
Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
From her album Country Gospel, that was Wanda Jackson with I Saw the Light. When I saw Ms. Jackson play the Granada in Lawrence last month, she does that song, Hank Williams song, the second Hank Williams cover on this podcast, actually. But in the midst, towards the end of every performance she does, she talks about how she came to be converted to Christianity, how she became saved and all that. And then she performs that song. It starts out very slow and mellow, and you think it's going to be sort of a bit of an energy downer, and then it kicks back up. It's a heel kicking, not honky tonk, but is definitely a sort of revival, tent revival version of I Saw the Light. And for any hipsters in the crowd who were uncomfortable by her discussion of Jesus, I'm sure the music certainly had them singing along. Before that, from Stop the World, a collection on the Longines Symphonette label, that was Patsy Cline with Three Cigarettes in an Ashtray. I figured, you know, why play Walking After Midnight or Crazy or something like that? I'll play something a little different from Patsy Cline, a song you might not be as familiar with. And we started that out with Nico Case doing Make Your Bed from her EP Canadian Amp. The one of the first times I saw Nico Case perform, she played at the Bottleneck with her boyfriends, and she introduced that song as this is a song about killing your boyfriend who's been cheating on him, and then killing the woman who's been cheating on he's been cheating with, and then throwing them both in the river. And that's what the song is about. It's a happy song, I guess. I'm a big fan of murder ballads, and that's one of the finer ones I've ever heard. We're going to play something a little different. No, I'm not going to say totally different, but definitely a little more, a little less traditional than what I've been playing. This is the last set. We always get weird in the last set, and or at least a little 90 degrees from where we were. We're going to start it out from his fantastic Bloodshot Records release, Heartbreaker. This is Ryan Adams with To Be Young Is To Be Sad Is To Be High.
1, 2, 1, woo!
Young boy done me bad, went and did you wrong. Young boy done me bad, I went and did you wrong. And I got high, Lord, I got high. Now I got a bone to pick with you, and I'm sure you're not. When you're young, you get sad.
long time forgotten. Your dreams have just fell by the way. The good life he promised ain't what she's living today.
Really?
But she never complains of the bad times or the bad things he's done, Lord. She just talks about the good times they've had and all the good times to come. She's a good-hearted woman in love with a good-time man. She loves him in spite of his ways she don't understand. Through teardrops and laughter that pass through this world hand in hand. A good-hearted woman loving a good-time man. He likes the bright lights and nightlife and good-time friends. And when the party's all over, she'll welcome him back home again.
Love knows she don't understand him, but she does the best that she can.
Now this a good-hearted woman loving a good-time man.
She's a good-hearted woman in love with a good-time man. She loves me in spite of my wicked ways that she don't understand. Through teardrops and laughter that pass through this world. Woman loving a good time and man.
when he saw the traces of old lies still on their faces. So why don't someone here just spike his drink? Why don't you do him in some old way? Supposed to be a funeral. It's been a bad, bad day.
The album Grievous Angel, that was Graham Parsons with $1,000 Wedding. Oh, Graham, you recorded some crap, but goddamn, you recorded some good songs. Graham Parsons, for all of his craziness and hippiness, that man could write a song, and that is a wonderful one there. Before that, Waylon Jennings with Good Hearted Woman from Greatest Hits. You gotta play some honky tonk. If you're going to play country, you got to play some honky-tonk, and damn it, Waylon Jennings is the man for that. And we started that out with Ryan Adams doing To Be Young Is To Be Sad Is To Be High from Heartbreaker, that song written by the only Mr. David Rawlings. You may have heard David Rawlings perform that on a recent episode of Prairie Home Companion, and wondered, why the hell do I know that song? And that's why you do. And that's it. That is this week's podcast. A little shorter than normal, but I think definitely made up for with that differing sort of... I like playing country music. I have almost as much fun playing that as I do playing the punk and garage and rock and roll. It's nice to change things up every once in a while, and I like being able to feature music that sort of harkens back to the roots of punk rock. And... country music and that sort of rebellious streak certainly has made it all the way up to nowadays. Thanks again to Ike Sheldon of The Wilders. Their new album, The Wilders, is available now on Free Dirt Records, and you can find them, you can buy that from them at their website, thewilders.us. You can also follow them on Facebook. You can find me and my typings of random nature at rockstarjournalist.com, which is where you can find this podcast each and every Thursday morning at 8 a.m., and you can follow me on Twitter at NuthousePunks. Tell your friends to download the podcast. Tell your friends with record labels and bands to send me records. And until next week, thank you for listening.